Wasted on Planet Radio. God, I so needed to hear that song. I needed some rock and roll, a little adrenaline for the second hour of Off Planet Radio Live. The final Wednesday night show. This is September 25th, 2013, somewhere in planet Earth. And we have with us tonight two talk show hosts with, in a lot of ways, we're all very different people. We come from different kind of environments and the way we work, but the harmony between this is the viewpoints that we share, and that is empowerment. It's not about men, it's not about women, but it's about both of those, and it's also about the human race and the fact that we really need to get up on our hind feet and get our brains engaged, our bodies working, and our emotions stabilized so that we have the ability to begin to throw off this vampiric system, which is sucking the life out of almost everybody here. And I welcome back for the second hour, David Whitehead and Vinny Eastwood. Good evening and welcome back, guys.
Hey, Randy.
It's good to be here.
Marvelous to be back for a full second hour. You know, I was just thinking how many of these shows we've done. We've done two so far, but did about 2 hours apiece, once on my show, once on David's. Now it's once on Randy. So it's got the kind of trifecta and also the sort of isosceles triangle kind of feel to it, with the little thing like the topicals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you've got that going on. Hey, the triad is a perfection, so... you know, a lot
it's
of
the strongest shape in nature, in or something.
It is.
That's right. Yeah. Actually, we use it a lot in the art of jiu-jitsu. We use the triangle format and for stances, for posturing when you're in different, you know, grappling positions. So it's interesting how we prove it all the time. You know, how the different, you have to have a good stable base point. And so, yeah, definitely the triangle. It really is the strongest structure.
See, the occultists stole all this stuff from us. They turned it into something evil. These symbols and all these numbers and things, they have meaning to us, and we've lost that connection with sacred geometry and with symbolism.
Well, it's just a science that they've co-opted and turned into something that, you know, can be used nefariously, you know, but it's just knowledge that can be used by anybody. They just don't want the average person to have it. They want to keep it to themselves.
What they've done is they've removed the science and the mathematics from the way the world truly works in the spiritual sense, and instead asked people to trust them, that it's about belief, that there isn't something rigid about our universe that we can actually control and influence, provided we know the messages, the structure, and the numbers, and all of these other different aspects of our physical day-to-day lives. These things actually really hold a lot of power. Symbols have an immense effect, not only upon what you see and associate with in terms of the meaning of a symbol, but there is actually a real palpable effect, you know, chemically sort of thing on people, and it has a very, very profound influence on the way that you get your way through the world. And what I've been doing recently, guys, is I've been watching movies, okay, you know, illegally downloaded movies. And been trying to dig this. Imagine if you watched maybe a couple of movies a week, maybe three, four movies a week. And for each movie that you're watching, you're analyzing very specifically for any kind of all-seeing eyes or Masonic tiled floors or things of that nature all over the place. Okay? That's what I've been doing for the past couple of months. And I have exactly 118 screenshots of movies full of Masonic symbolism. All kinds of movies. Kids' movies, horror movies, crime, action, sci-fi, everything. It is all loaded with the Illuminati symbolism and the 666 and the number 33 and all of this other sort of stuff. Now, I don't know about you, but didn't Edward Bernays come up with product placement in film and so on and so forth? And now what we have is the product of the alleged Illuminati and subterfugious motherfuckers and Freemasonry the whole way through cinema. Now, it's not just cinema either. It's also throughout all the video games. They use particular phrases, like, for example, have you ever heard in a movie or a video game order out of chaos or something to that relation? Of course you have. It's in so many of them.
Some of them even called that.
Yeah. And it's the 33rd degree motto. Every degree of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, mind you, that's the bad one. The rest of Freemasonry, absolutely nothing wrong with it, as far as I can tell, apart from the fact that they keep secrets and so on and so forth, which, you know, doesn't make them exactly transparent, but there's nothing really wrong with that. They don't hurt nobody. But what happens is you get this massive influence subtly in every single aspect of your viewing and gaming pleasure. All these things that you distract yourself with time after time are loaded with all these symbols, just a little bit here or there, so you never get wise to them, and they only appear for a second or two. But they're there nonetheless, and every single thing that comes into your field of vision that you're not consciously aware of, automatically your brain goes back and puts it into the subconscious. Because when you're watching television, when you're watching a computer screen, it takes about 30 seconds, and you switch from the beta waves, which are the logical, analytical, kind of very awake and aware part of the brain, and it switches you over to alpha waves, the other side of the brain, where it's all colors and mesmerization. And so it literally puts you into a trance. They've got the flash rate, I think, at about something like 52 flashes per second or whatever, the flicker rate of the actual design of the television sets, up to exactly the right level where your conscious mind cannot fully process the things that you are seeing. And it puts you into a submissive dream state and prepares you to accept subliminal information. This is part of a very, very wide mind control agenda. And what's funny is, it's one of the most obvious ones when you really think about it. Once you get told what to look for, you start seeing it everywhere. The problem is, because you start seeing it everywhere, you start to think that it really means something. It starts to actually have an effect on you. And then you wonder, all of these symbols and all of these things, and this is coming roundabout way to what I was saying before, do they really have an effect on us? If they didn't, would so much attention be paid to put into virtually all of our entertainment these symbols, gestures, and artifacts? Why would they be doing that if there was no effect whatsoever, considering the expense, the amount of involvement? You know what I mean?
Well, there's absolutely, yeah, for sure. They know that there's an effect. They've studied this. You can research this and realize how effective this is. I mean, this is used in commercial advertising to say, get you to believe that you need this new product. You want to look like this. You want to be able to be cool in front of your friends, whatever. They know the colors. They know the tones. They know the tone of voice. You know, actors go to audition specifically because they want that person that has the exact look they're looking for, the way they move their body, the way they speak, the way they interact. They're looking for very, very specific things. And these commercials and these movies and these television shows are scripted right to the nanosecond. And the editing that's done and the product placement and everything else is so specific, it would really boggle the mind. I actually have one of my uncles is actually an editor. He's done editing on some major Hollywood films, and I've had a few conversations with him. And the level of detail that goes into these films, I don't really think people can fully appreciate it. And so there's absolutely a big plan behind it. That doesn't mean everybody involved in making the film knows what's going on. This is something that is done at a very, very, you know, we're talking maybe 5% of the at the top, you know what I mean, in Hollywood and in these media companies, that they have this repertoire of symbols, colors, and all of this knowledge of how to influence the human mind. And on one level, people can just say, oh, the agenda is just to make money. So they're trying to attract you in, and then that way it feeds the corporations, it feeds everything else. But you really got to pan out and expand in your research so that you can see the bigger picture here. And that is that the subconscious mind is actively running in the background.
Isn't it amazing?
All that stuff that's there for eye candy. There's something there behind mind, that.
It's like subconscious mind sort of fills in the blanks, and they know that, and so they fill the blanks with something they've created.
Yeah, and they know these symbols go back to our ancestral roots. There's a genetic connection to our, you know, genetic ancestors going all the way back in history, which is why they use ancient Babylonian, Egyptian, Sumerian, Akkadian type, like these ancient symbols. And these symbols were actually sacred symbols that were used in these religions of the time, which were there with the goal of trying to uplift the human spirit. So there's but when you twist that and you invert the pentagram and you add an additional peak, you know, with an all-seeing eye on top of a pyramid, or you have a certain numerology behind it that changes the whole equation, there's a very subtle way that they turn down its head. And which is the whole point of what you would call Satanism or Luciferianism or whatever name you want to give it. And that is to just be able to turn it on its head so that you're now operating in opposition to nature and to the reason we're here and the whole energy of the universe and the planet and how everything works symbiotically together. If you want to disrupt that and try to control that, you have to have a deep knowledge of how that works. And they do. And what you're talking about, Vinny, seeing this in the movies, I've got hundreds of examples myself as well. And I bet you we would probably see some of the same things in the same films. But if we got together and compared, we would see that there's a huge library that it would blow people's minds how consistent this is. And you're right. They wouldn't put it in there unless there was a reason for it.
Well, even the symbolic hand gestures that get made, and you see it on magazine covers, and you go, wow, I don't think you really hold your fingers that way. You know, we see this all the time with gestures, and they're well rehearsed. These people, the politicians, the actors, all of them have been trained to move in certain ways and to act in certain ways, and they're very subtle when they're doing their signaling. And a lot of this goes into mind control projects at the level of, you know, to use the most common example, MKUltra. But we know that from the interviews that I've done, and I'm sure you guys have touched on this as well, we know how they trigger people like Manchurian candidates. We know that they use symbols, they use lights, these electrical impulses and frequencies that are all coded in a certain way to trigger not just an entire array of responses like they do in advertising, but in fact trigger an entire alternate personality, which is our culture itself has actually got multiple personality disorder when you look at the programming that's being done through the electronic media now.
I do believe that the electronic age has presented a lot of advantages to mankind and also a lot of dangers.
Yes.
Like, you think about the EMF frequencies that are coming off of all this equipment that we're going down. I had a dude in my office who came on the air with me, Paul Noel. And he, oh my gosh, he's got a few gadgets, mate. And they start detecting the stuff that's emitting radiation signals and stuff like that around you. The big CD screen that I have behind me during the show most times was putting off like 1,000 lamps or whatever of everything. And when we turned that off, the ambient around here was like around the 260, 300 mark, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine how much radiation's been coming off people directly off of their TVs. So sitting there, they're zonked out, they're absorbing all bunches of things that basically make no sense, and they're just nonsense. I mean, think about this. You ever heard of the Bernie Mac show, right? Apparently it was like the number one comedy show in America. Now, me being a New Zealander, I mean, you know, we get American culture because our culture is American culture to a large degree. Almost all of our shows are like that. And I couldn't fathom how anybody would find any of the jokes even remote or funny. And I came up with a very interesting system about watching a sitcom and figuring out whether or not it's funny. When the canned laughter comes in, are you laughing too?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, no. You're not laughing at all. You can go through a whole episode of some of this kind of thing, and the canned laughter will be, you know, 5-10 minutes of it. You won't laugh for one. The stuff is not funny. It's not creative. So just think about the examples. Have you ever seen a movie that really changed your freaking life because of the way that it was made, the images that were projected in front of you, the storyline, the characters you can relate to, that reality, that deep thinking movie, that something that actually you walk away thinking differently of the world,
sure.
Like The Matrix or Fight Club. Incidentally, both of them were made in 1999, and almost every movie since 2000 has been crap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, the amount of... And tell me, I'm symbol of...
Could you hear him, Randy?
Mind control.
No, he's dropping out badly. We're getting... I don't know. The Skype connection is terrible tonight.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead and go back up on what you were just saying there, David.
Okay. And if I cut out and again, just let me know.
Actually, reiterate, it'd be better because we missed the first half of it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, I was just saying you were talking about the Manchurian Candidate idea where they've got this mind control down to a point where they can flip a guy just by saying a certain trigger word or a certain trigger sound or even an image that can flip the switch into this, you know, construct of an alternative personality. And when you actually watch both of those movies, whether it's the old Manchurian Candidate film or the new one, you will see a ton of symbolism that is in those films alone. So they're, what they think they do in these things is they actually communicate it because it's part of ritual magic, really, if you think about it. This is how they do it. They have to disclose what they're doing. They have to do that. And it's also part of a psychotic mindset where they need to tell the victim what's about to happen to them. And there's an energy pull that comes from that. So if they've got us hooked in to their machine, and we're contributing our energy to it because we're contributing our focus and our conscious intention to it, then we are actually feeding that program that they're trying to create. So when we're watching these things and we're seeing these symbols, it is important to be aware of it. And when you now look at it from the point of view of researching it, like what Vinny was talking about, you know, going through and actually noticing it and taking the time to document it, there's a different frame of mind than if you're just sitting there unaware of it, passively accepting it into your subconscious, where you are literally being triggered. So then when you go out into the marketplace, or you're online and you're shopping, or you're walking past some sign in the subway terminal, you're being triggered. Those are the triggers that were planted in you previously from watching some commercial, some TV show, some movie. And then all you got to do to understand how this works is just go listen to people's conversations. And what are the topics of the conversations? Words that they're using. Are we even speaking the actual English language, or are we speaking a sort of form of new speak where this is, especially with the social media, with all of these acronyms like OMG, LOL. I actually have people that look me in the face in front of me and they say LOL. Like, can't you just...
I know. It's funny, the exact same thing happened to me here. Like, I said something funny, but my word, LOL. But bro, you do realize that an actual cackle is more enjoyable than saying the acronym LOL.
Exactly.
Well, this is called linguistic reductionism, and it's been ongoing for many, many years.
Our
vocabulary is being taken from us.
Yeah, it's probably just as damaging to our vocabulary as reductionist thinking is to your imagination.
Oh, yeah.
Have you noticed that, actually, here's the main problem with society. There's forward-looking people and backward-looking people. Simple as that. Forward-looking people see a world of knowledge expanding. Backward-looking people see everything getting worse and out of their control and struggle to fight and make things the way they are. Whereas a forward-looking person changes with them and winds up rising on top, which is why the other ones are so frickin' afraid of people like us.
That kind of brings this to an interesting juncture. Let's talk a little bit about strategies that people can employ. There is, like I said, a wave of despair out there in the mainstream. The people that are consuming news on a daily basis from mainstream media, consuming their products from the malls, people who consume their ideas from magazines that have been filtered to them. But for people that are waking up, how do they get themselves up? How do they keep it out there? How do they get motivated to take things to the next level?
I was just wondering,
get yourself arrested for an unjust crime. There you go. That'll give you motivation.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say that the way I for people that are researching this and people that are starting to take a look around at the world and see that something is wrong, and they're also going on that sort of inward journey of trying to discover who they are, trying to get back in balance with nature, getting in harmony with their friends, their family, just expanding their mind and trying to look for solutions to these problems that we have. If you're one of those people that are out there, the first thing that I would say that you can equip yourself in this battle is you have to take on board a proper diet. You have to realize that you've got to power this machine, this physical expression of your consciousness. You need to have it aligned and balanced perfectly. And it is about balance. It doesn't mean you have to go and be some monk living in a cave and you're only eating, you know, like two different things. You can still have a diverse diet, but it's about understanding, you know, getting your pH balance in order, getting your alkalinity level up, having, you know, as much organic food as possible. We're being assaulted physically so that our brains are not able to process this information. And if your body is not able to conduct that higher conscious energy that you are conducting, I mean, you are a transmitter and a receiver of energy. If that signal is being blocked by all these toxins and all these things that we're discussing, then you're not going to really have that ability to stay in a positive mindset. So I think that the big thing is get some good exercise. You need to vent this stuff out. Don't just sit there in front of your computer all the time and just, you know, put yourself in a state of depression. Get out there and do a physical activity that you enjoy. For me, I really enjoy hiking, running. You know, I do martial arts. I do other sports and stuff. And it's just a way for me to express energy in a positive way. And if you feel angry, don't bottle it up inside of you. It's meant you have an anger mechanism built into your being for a reason. And don't shut it off. First thing you can do. But don't just blast some poor schmuck who just happened to get in your way because you're angry. Go out there and vent it in a rational way. And you're going to feel a lot better from that. And then, of course, the nutrition and the diet. You know, organic, clean, unprocessed food. Eat as much greens as you can. And I'll just leave it with this. There's an interesting thing about the color green, actually, specifically, is that that color is always represented balance and harmony. And if you think about it psychologically, you know, the balance of the heart and the emotions and creating an equilibrium, that's where that comes from. And the idea that green represents that, and that green is the majority of the color on this planet, and that the vegetables that are green are the best for you, and they help you with that alkalinity. That's why the heart chakra, the color of the heart chakra, is green. And if you look in the color spectrum, you'll see that one end of the spectrum is like a blue-violet, and the other end of the spectrum is red. And green is what balances it in the middle. So what we're talking about, and I'm just using green as a symbol so that you can kind of visualize it, think of it as a balancing point. Don't go extreme right or extreme left. You gotta bring that balance in the middle. And I think that also goes to what we're talking about with this whole, you know, male, female, masculine, feminine. I mean, we all have masculine and feminine energy in our being,
And kind of went off by himself after Danny left, and kind of haven't really watched the video since. But I kind of got some inspiration from that. And that inspiration was in the form of a realization. When you speak through a megaphone, every joke you tell is immensely more funny than if you just normally tell a joke.
Oh, yeah,
no, seriously. And therefore, if you're going to lead a protest, make sure you have fun at the protest and tell a few jokes through the megaphone, because that way you get everybody happy, you get them all laughing, you get them energetic, you get them smiling. Have you noticed that just the act of laughing or the act of smiling actually makes you feel better, even if it's fake? You've ever seen that? There's some studies of like people who were depressed and they smiled and smiled and their depression started to wane and they became happier. All right? You could make a joke or something fun or something inspirational out of every single moment of your day. People will criticize you and say, oh, your jokes are lame or you're just not taking things seriously. Well, in actual fact, you're just not taking life seriously enough. You're taking yourself too seriously. And there's two general rules. You know, if you want to retain sanity, don't take yourself too seriously, and don't take what people have to say to you personally. Just be yourself.
I think I can't remember who said it, but somebody said, if you're going to tell the truth, you better be funny about it, otherwise they'll be.
Yeah, something and I think like I've kind of nailed that down. Besides, you know, it's a hell of a lot more fun listening to somebody having a really interesting conversation. Like, I think that's the kind of the way that I like to run my show, and it's probably and that's kind of how we met.
Yeah, yeah. There was this. I don't know. Everybody's ass is tight these days, and that's part of it. People don't smile at each other anymore. In public places, it's rare anymore to get a direct look and lock into somebody's eyes and be able to. We just lost our Skype line. Okay, so we'll call them back in. Hopefully it'll be better this time. This is why I hate live radio, by the way. I'm having massive network problems, but the stream's fine. Stream okay there? Are we getting stream out tonight? I didn't have any music queued up either. So let me do this. Let's see here. I can't seem to get these guys back. Okay. Let's try this again. Okay, I got a network problem here. I'm gonna go to music, and we'll come back as soon as I get them back up.
Someone in LA, I know that something And we are back. I said it was going to be a loose show, and it has been. We had a massive Skype dropout again, so one of the things I guess we got to do is figure out some other way to do this.
It's a fine time to leave me, Lucille. It comes to mind. Fine.
But it's good to be back, isn't it? It's finally. We do have a clear.
It's a great
connection.
Show. I'm having a blast. I think I was just telling Vinny on the break there. I think this definitely has turned out to be much better than Iron Man 3.
Yeah, and a much lower budget too. I might add. In fact, no budget. Oh, we won't even go there tonight. The underfunding of independent radio.
Well, you know why that is. Is because people are afraid to ask. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about, man. If you're doing something good, you're doing something right, you're not engaging in scumbaggery, then I think you can very well feel satisfied just by going up and asking for help.
That's right.
You know,
that's
what I do on my show every single day. And, you know, I want to be able to use kind of that shamelessness that is Vinnie Eastwood to procure funding so that when an activist needs a camera, like they're going off down the country or something like that, or a laptop or a megaphone or a decent microphone or a recorder or something like that, so that they can conduct their activities with a little bit of a technological aid, I'll be there and I'll use people's donation money to buy that stuff for them.
That's right.
So that they can all accumulate that information, and we'll put it up on my websites and my YouTube channels and all that stuff for them. Because the activists, basically, they're already reporters, right? They speak like reporters. They look like reporters in a lot of ways. They research like reporters do.
They're used to.
Allegedly. And that's basically what I'm talking about. When I talk about the new media actually inspiring people, is you simply give somebody the tools to make media out of their everyday life, and you can be guaranteed they'll come up with something productive. That's provided they actually put the effort in. If they ain't willing to put the effort in on the video and the media side, at least get them to be able to capture it so that it doesn't disappear into nothingness. I've seen so many people turning up to all the public meetings, protests, and things of that nature that I do with their cameras and all that kind of stuff, and not a single thing gets uploaded, because to be there and shoot, that's freaking easy. To get home, download that footage, edit it, process it, upload it, that's a hell of a lot of effort, son.
Sure is.
And I'm doing it all day, every day, like it's freaking nothing.
I gotta say.
Chick told me, asked me, you know, what movie editing program do you use? And I go, I just use iMovie off the Mac, you know. She goes, oh, my God, you so don't know what you're talking about. And I go, excuse me, how many videos have you made? And she goes, oh, well, I was part of a crew for, like, 2 short films. And you go, really, 2 films, huh? I've made 2,500. So with all respect, you don't know what you're talking about. If you got something. Anything, if it's information or whatever, the one thing that YouTube has taught me, it matters not the quality of the video. What matters is the depth of the information.
Look at what goes viral on the internet. It's not studio releases. It's these, sometimes it's hopelessly silly stuff, but it's actually life-affirming to be able to see what people are willing to put out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when you're a single man going to a party. That's what you're looking for, is the ones that will put out. Did I just say that on
you TV? Did. And it, you know, it's the man show.
And your Skype didn't drop, so it was fully
it was
on
perfect.
Air.
In all fairness.
People out there, you got to support alternative media and kind of saying, talking earlier about how we've been supporting this whole system and all this corrupt, mechanisms and whatnot in our society. It's about time that we support local business, support alternative media, support what you want. I mean, if you want to be enslaved, if you want to have commercial advertising, you know, in your face 24/7 and practically downloaded into your brain, then keep supporting it. Keep going to those big stores. Keep giving them money. If you want to keep seeing wars taking place, well, keep paying your taxes, because that's where that money's going.
Yeah.
And it's also going to pay off the debt of this imaginary money that we're all playing with. So it's whatever we support. And if we can support you know, people that do great radio shows, people that go out there and they're very, very active and they got a great message. I don't think people know what the people like the three of us and many others have to go through in order to do what we do. And we do it out of the love of our hearts, and we do it because we believe in it and we're passionate about it. We're somewhat good at it. Some of us have talents in certain areas, and like, we could be even better if we had a really good network of support, and we could drown out this noise coming from the mainstream, and we could totally take over and get some real
with
information.
With minimal budget.
Yeah,
you
minimal,
know what's
yeah.
really great about volunteers is that not only do they work really, 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 really hard, but you don't have to freaking pay them.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? Okay, they work 10 times as hard as any public servant that I've ever seen. People who are exposing corruption in the local Auckland City, Super City, Agenda 21 Council, that's just like, oh my God. They basically just handed $29 billion worth of assets. This is a city of 1 million people. Over to corporations. With a single right of parliament, they're just frickin' scum. And to investigate and to go through all of this kind of stuff takes a friend of mine, Penny Bright, who's now running for mayor, an unbelievable quantity of time in order to dig up, file Official Information Act requests, you know, and all of this sort of stuff. And what amazes me is the depth of her knowledge through doing that. Is not something that she's wanting to be paid for. She's doing what I think would be classified as a patriotic duty. You know, you don't. I mean, like Thomas Paine said, the duty of a patriot is to protect one's country from one's government.
That's right.
Yeah, Jefferson said he felt it was healthy that every once in a while we had an insurrection, a revolution, an overturning of the government. And now he would be considered a terrorist, and he would be run off by Homeland Security into Gitmo or someplace and waterboarded for saying that.
Yeah, so that's right.
It was sensory deprivation.
The activists out there are the people that are passionate, and they're actually the people who are the experts. Listen, lawyers don't know law, they know procedure. Journalists do not do journalism anymore. They are handed scripts, they are actors, they hire actors. We now hire actors to stage false flag events that are then scripted and played out on media to embed fear memes into the culture. And so you don't have a representative media anymore. What you have is a circus designed to continue perpetuating the New World Order's agenda.
A circus, mind you, that is floundering and dying quicker than you can say, Fat Sam.
It is.
40 million people cancelled their cable like a couple of years ago. 40 million people! Holy shit, Muslim balls. And there's also the fact that advertising revenues are drying up as well. I mean, you think about this. You know what gets the most coverage and the most ratings during prime time, you know, when all the news is on and CNN, Fox, NBC, and all of that kind of stuff? You know what programs actually got the highest ratings during that time slot? Chuck Norris Total Gym commercial.
Nice.
It's just because...
Yeah, you're cutting out again.
I mean, by the way,
there we go.
You've got to hand it to Chuck Norris. He's just so freaking much better than the media, admittedly.
Well, exactly. Because he has
right. What would you rather watch, the media or Chuck?
Well, you want Chuck a hero. Bro. You want a man's man fighting a man's battle in a man's world.
Somebody with facial hair.
And chicks like that, too. I mean, look, we're not being chauvinist here. Come on, ladies.
I don't know about you, but
you
want
to see it.
Well, actually, it was studies. And here's the other thing that's very, very interesting. Women's magazines produce all these studies of things, you know, with relatively small groups and so on and so forth. Goodness knows how much they massage the statistics. But apparently the two sexiest types of facial hair are either clean-shaven or just a little bit of hair underneath your bottom lip.
Those are the two sexiest.
Allegedly.
The goatee is out.
No.
Although it
they don't like it hanging off the chin. Huh. Which I find ironic, considering the amount of rampant Satanism among sexuality and all of that kind of thing.
What, you don't like my goat? You don't like my goatee? Oh, no, baby. I tell you what, I'm going to show you my horns. I'm going to ram myself right into the depths of your very soul.
We're going vaguely pornographic now.
The show just became R-rated.
It did. Okay. And that's fine. You know, the kids are asleep at this hour, right?
Yeah, I think
so. Well, let's freaking hope so. And unfortunately, it's going to be archived as well. So hopefully, you know, direct your complaints to my inbox, and yeah. I will apologize profusely, most likely, and then ask how I can do better, and then I will stop doing that thing that offended you. That's kind of how I am.
Our production manager is Helen Waite. You can send your comments off to Helen and Waite.
Why? I made the violation. Oh, there's a pun there.
Ooh, moving violation, too. Anyway. Yeah. You know, as we've gone through this series, both of you have impressed me in very different ways with your expertise in certain areas. And as we kind of wind up tonight, I don't know if we're going to do more of these or not, but I'd like to get like a kind of completion to this somewhere on the state of where we're at in resolving some of the issues between men and women. This is an old thing that we're talking about. There have been imbalances in cultures, and for a long time I think our culture was largely male and very martial and very warlike. Are we moving into the place where the feminine is ascending to the place where it's going to balance the equation, and we're going to start to see a better culture from that?
I think the feminine already had the equation balanced, and that's why they needed to be tipped up. The Romans had a saying: to control the men, you got to control the women. And to control the women, you just threaten the children.
Oh. Now.
That's how you conquer people. You go after the children, threaten them, and you get the wife and the woman to control the male. The women always had a controlling stake in society. Do you have any idea how much skill, how much diligence, how much hard work it is to run a household and raise children? It's thoroughly underappreciated nowadays, when in actual fact it used to be freaking almost deified. And there's still an element of that. Like, I'm a mother, you know. But they use that element of, I'm a mother and I take care of my children. Now, instead of a badge of honor by which they can accept that they now have very much a lot of responsibility and power and capacity to take on the world and change it for the better. That woman that I referred to in the first hour, Kerry Campbell, who went out and withdrew $15 million through a legal right through a bank because of the amount of research that she did based on a show that she heard of mine, you know, loosely, she got 8 kids. Did she hide behind them? Did she use them as an excuse why you shouldn't do the right thing and expose the system for what it really is? Because at the end of the day, who's going to wind up in the system that you're now here, seeing, viewing, feeling at all hours of the day? You can taste it. You can taste the aspartame on your mouth. You can sniff the chemtrail particulated barium in your nostril hair. This is not a thing you can escape from. Fight or flight. Fight or flight. They've made flight undoable. So you must fight. The warrior spirit must awaken within you. Everybody has had the urge to kill. Everybody has had the urge to fight. And everybody has had the urge to die. And if you are strong, if you are capable, if you have the confidence within yourself, you can choose your own fate, and you won't have to let it up to somebody else who's going to squander away your future and the future of those that are yet to come.
That's well said, and I would also just add that we need to protect our children, because ultimately this system has all of its gun barrels pointed at them right now. And it's these children that are being raised in these farm-like institutions called schools, and they are constantly indoctrinated 24/7 by the access that they have to the media, that they're not being raised by parents anymore. I mean, Vinny, you were bringing up how the Romans knew that they had to go after the women to get to the men, and they had to go after the children to get to the women. Now they've got both men and women working 2 to 3 full-time jobs in order to pay the bills, and completely, you know, distracted and unhealthy and unmotivated and depressed. And so the children are being raised by the system. They're being raised by the state. They're being raised by the media. So if there's something that you can do, it's to get involved with working with children, whether you can work with them using whatever talents you have. I'm trying to get into the schools and community centers and trying to use my skill set, which comes from martial arts, to try to empower these children and show them about balance, whether they're male or female, showing that there's an equality there, but that everybody has different gifts and different things to bring forward. And whether, but what are you good at? What talent do you have? What can you teach? What can you do to help inspire some of these kids? Because it's a mess out there. So when we're fighting this fight, we've got to put the children first, and we got to start acting like a community and taking them under our wing, because they are the future. So whatever actions we take now is going to directly benefit or be a detriment to their future. So we got to consider that.
Yeah, and you got to figure out, like, how much worse could it possibly get? Like, oh, I'm nothing special. I'm just an ordinary guy. Really? Have you been in prison? No. Well, then you're frickin' exceptional.
Exactly.
Go out and
I'm an ordinary guy. You're an ordinary guy.
Yeah. Well, this is the funny thing, man, is that the system's so nasty to everybody. Almost everybody got some kind of a black mark on their record for doing something that they shouldn't. And the sad thing about it is we think that we can't be forgiven for that. I think we can. You know, you can forgive yourself a lot of things, so long as you don't keep repeating the mistakes of the past, making a douchebag of yourself, and allowing sinful, satanic slime to kidnap your freaking children, literally and figuratively, whenever they freaking want, to make you their freaking slave. What benefit is there in allowing it to continue without taking at least one stand, here or there? It doesn't matter how many ways you resist or in what different ways you resist, as long as you resist the system. And it's crazy, because you see things attacking you from every single angle. You start defending against one angle, you're simply playing your part.
You know, you just...
global resistance.
Vinny, you kicked in a key word there, and I don't want to let this go by, but it was guilt. You're made to feel guilty if you challenge a politician. You're made to feel guilty if you challenge your school system for your child. You're made to feel guilty if you withhold vaccines because you happen to believe that they're poisonous, polluted forms of basically killing our body's immune system. The whole guilt cycle has been completely reversed. The guilty are those who have been pointing their fingers at us and telling us we don't know what's best for ourselves.
Absolutely. Great point, Randy. And I want to just encourage that more and to say that people, if you're out there and you're doing this and you're trying to speak your mind, don't let even those family members or those friends, so-called friends, or those people in your life get in your face and just shut down because they want to make fun of you. They want to call you crazy. They're going to call you all kinds of names and hurl all kinds of abuse at you. They're going to challenge you constantly. Just rise to that. Take heart that you're not alone in this, and realize that it takes a lot of courage. We started this show talking about growing a pair. Well, this is what it's all about, is that it takes a lot of courage to stand up and speak your mind. And there's a picture, it goes around on the internet a lot, and I love it. And it's a picture in Nazi Germany, and everybody's on their feet, and they're pointing their hand to the air, Sieg Heil, and they're hailing Hitler and everything else. And there's one guy in the crowd that's just sitting there, he kind of looks bored, actually. He's just like, these...
I've seen this, yes.
It's the best picture.
It's perfect.
And it encapsulates the mentality that we need moving forward, because it's going to be those that are courageous. That's what we mean when we say the word warrior, and we're talking about this stuff. You don't need to know how to use a samurai sword. what you can use and what you can sharpen is your intellect. You can sharpen your beautiful body that is designed specifically to encase your soul essence, which is immortal and which is infinite and which is connected to this planet, to the people around you, and to this universe. And you are here to express that and remember to get in touch again with what it was to be a child, to live like a child, to want to go and have fun, to do things just for the sake of having fun. And what do you mean by that? It means that state of that inner bliss. It's like Joseph Campbell said again and again, follow your bliss. Mm. That doesn't mean bliss out and be ignorant. That means follow that spirit within you that motivates you, that gives you goosebumps, that inspires passion in you. And do that. And if you follow that, you're going to find success for sure, but you're also going to find that you're not going to be needing to run to the doctor to get some kind of psychotropic drugs so that you can rebalance the chemistry in your brain because you're in a state of manic depression. You are connected to what is. You're connected to the truth. And if you can do that and lead by example and show that example to these kids that are, whether you're your kids or someone else's kids, then I think we've got a chance. So it's courage that's going to win the day.
See, and David would know, because there is no mercy in his dojo.
There is absolutely no mercy in my dojo.
No mercy on the mats. Nope. I'll just add this. There are no ordinary people. There are just extraordinary opportunities out there. If you're going to challenge authority, be smart about it, and then go do it. And don't apologize for it. And don't apologize when you're wrong. But turn around and get up and do it again, because they want to wear us down and they want us to make that we're inferior, that we don't know, and it's time to turn the tables. Vinny, anything else you want to add to our summation?
Well, do we have another hour to summarize?
No, but you've got as much time as you want. We're not on the clock here.
What if I wanted another hour?
Well, Hal, you can just start right now.
Okay. Well, a lot of people, when you tell them that there's something that's good for them, well, I think, why would I do that? Actually, you're asking the wrong question. You shouldn't ask me that. Why? You should ask, why not? Isn't it much easier to experience life and actually learn new things if you keep asking, well, why not?
Yeah.
You know, taste new flavors, think new ideas, hear different songs, watch different films, have different experiences that encapsulate all of the knowledge and wisdom and ability of experience that this world has to offer. Or you can sit at home in the same space watching a mindless, foolish array of entertainment, and slowly the years waste away and you haven't moved, you haven't learned, you haven't experienced a thing, and you think you got life all figured out. And maybe the day will never come where you realize that you're wrong. But I can tell you what, if you did realize you were wrong a little bit too late, and you didn't take action, you'd probably regret all of that time that you wasted, where you could have been improving yourself, when you could have been learning something of value about the world around you. I see people who are getting old in the tooth, haven't experienced anything new since 1973. What the hell is the point in life if you aren't taking advantage of it? You know, it goes back to that pornography reference I was talking about earlier, I guess.
That's it? You got 59 minutes left, dude.
Right, 59 minute monologue. Okay, here we go.
He's winding up. Get him his bullhorn.
Oh, yeah. Should we take like a break from music or something like that and have a coffee and then I can rant it all out?
You want to drag this thing out there? Yeah, this is like foreplay. Okay. No, seriously.
All right.
What we need to do long. is plan on doing this again and on whoever's turf, but it's been an amazing experience being on with you two and discoursing and listening and just soaking it all in. The people who are listening, I hope you pick up on the vibe, which is basically, it's a DIY situation, but you'll not be alone when you do that. And once you step up, it's amazing what happens. Energy comes at you and resources begin to come in and you find something inside yourself that you didn't know was there before. And that's, I think, what Vinny was saying in his summation as well. Guys.
Yeah, it's a DIY, not a DUI.
I get it.
That's a DUI. You know, when you get caught and you're driving.
Oh yeah. I forget about
driving under the influence. Yes.
One of the few laws I have not broken.
Yeah. People need to be driving under the influence of their intuition. That's right. And I want to say, Randy, that thank you for providing this space for us on this show. And guys, it's been truly an honor to serve with you, and I hope we can do this more and work together on other projects as well. And I think that everything we're talking about getting out there and speaking your mind, it generates a lot of synchronicity. I mean, look what we've generated just randomly coming on Vinny's show. We got double booked, and here we are. Yeah. We ended up with an amazing trilogy that beat the pants off Iron Man 3 and Rocky 3. And we are now just, able to create our voice and express our opinion and put some energy out there. And if we can inspire at least one person by doing that, then I think we've done our job. But I know this is going to just keep adding some more momentum to all of the work that we do. And that's what this is all about. And I really like to see when people come together in this alternative community, because there is a lot of division, there is a lot of infighting, and there's a lot of ego that ends up cropping up just as it does everywhere else. It's nice to see when we can actually stand shield to shield and to work in the same direction and with the same goals. And even if we have different opinions or different backgrounds or different ways of seeing things or different styles, that's actually what makes it amazing, because it's like a symphony, you know? And I just feel like we've really been playing in harmony, and it's just like on the Titanic on the way down, gentlemen. It's an honor to serve with you.
Yeah. It's like a phalanx, man. You know, Alexander the Great conquered the whole of Persia and even got himself halfway into India and conquered the known world using this technique. You have a shield, but your shield you don't really use to protect yourself. You use it to protect the man next to you. And if everybody's working as one single indivisible unit, 100 men can take out 10,000 soldiers without even getting wounded, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's what we can act like for each other. You see, your friends under attack out there being demonized or filthified or whatever, you just give them a call and offer them some kind words, find out what's really going on, and, if anybody asks, then you know. But it's awesome when people freaking show up for you. And what was good is that I sort of launched this thing, you know, accidentally, because I'm a stupid idiot. I sometimes accidentally double book people or forget to enter something in, which is how we met, interestingly. And
it's a great way to meet.
And what was also cool is that we were all radio show hosts, and then we were able to bounce that exact same accidental idea into, like, a small freaking radio trilogy.
That's right.
Now, that's what happens. When you understand that there is no frickin' plan, everything is fly by the seat of your pants, frag it, three sheets to the wind, batten down the
hatches,
just go for it.
Yep.
Well, it's been...
Take a risk.
Yeah.
What are you worried about?
Again, just reckless abandon. Let it fly. It's been my privilege as well to share these last three shows with you guys. And to get to know you a little bit and bounce off each other in some very interesting ways. And stay on the line. I want to talk to you guys when we go off and see where we want to navigate this. I can barely talk tonight. My lips are numb. Anyway, next week, we will move to Friday night. That will be October 4th. We're going to have Ken Pfeiffer with us. Chris Holly will be back with me. We're going to talk about world UFO sightings, and we got a whole bunch of stuff coming up in the month of October. I will be in Boulder, Colorado, the University of Colorado at Boulder, October 10th, 11th, and 12th for the Global Breakthrough Energy Movement Conference. So there will be a slight break there. And by the way, anybody that's interested in alternative energy, go over to globalbem.com and check them out, support what they're doing. And that's an important thing as well right now, is we need to get our hands on the energy that's not going to fuck up our environment and continue raping our pockets. And I feel very passionately about that. My thanks again to David Whitehead and Vinnie Eastwood. This is part three of The Man Show. This is Off Planet Radio, and we will be back with you in about 10 days. Good night.